It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of CBD. You can participate and have your specific questions answered by emailing sweethomecannabama.com. And now for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer. I'm the owner and founder of Cannabama, the CBD store right here in Mobile. We're located at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown. Our phone number is 251-255-5155. That's 251-255-5155. And our website is www.cannabama.com. That's CANNABAMA.com. In case you want to shop online, check us out. Call, have any questions. We're there 7 days a week, Monday through Thursday, 10 to 7. Friday and Saturday, 10 to 8. And Sunday, noon to 5. There's always somebody there if you need us. We had a pretty busy weekend. Some weirdly sad news. One of my bud tenders, Angelie, the quiet, sweet one, the pretty blonde, she's my son's girlfriend also, and Marty, our shop dog, she's his mama. She is about to leave in about a month. She accepted a full scholarship to a university in Taiwan. And she's going over there to study international business. She's very smart and very sweet, and she has a surprising adventurous streak. So as sad as we are to lose her, and as hard as it's going to be for my poor son to live without her, they've been together on like two and a half years, I think, since high school. And but she's got this grand adventure in front of her. So, but I say that to say we're going to have some new faces in the store soon because we'll have to replace her. But also this weekend we started having a yard sale for her in the space next door to the store. So unit 1C. We got signs up. But anyway, we decided to just kind of keep going with it until we get rid of all her stuff. She can't take it all with her. She had a whole apartment, you know, she lived on her own. And so now she's having to get rid of that stuff. We put some stuff in, you know, I closed those locations last year, had a ton of furniture. I've still got some display counters, like the glass display cases. If any businesses are looking for some stuff, got tons of decor and stuff like that. And she's got jewelry and shoes and clothes, and we've got electronics. I got a couple printers, things like that. Cheap stuff, you know, because we're just trying to make some space and trying to help her raise money for her plane ticket. So if you are coming down to the store to shop, try to carve out 5 minutes to go next door and look around or leave a tip for Angelie in the tip jar. I put her Cash App and Venmo on Facebook this weekend. But anyway, we want to make sure that she has everything she needs for a safe trip and have time to get settled. Come and see us. And this week, especially in the next coming weeks, she'll be leaving February 28th, smack in the middle of Mardi Gras. I'm like, oh, no. But no, it's been coming for a while, and they just now got their departure date. So anyway, that'll be really cool. Keep her in her prayers, those of you who pray, because she is turning 20 next week. And now she's going across the world. And right now in the current situation around the world, that's a little extra scary for me because she's like a daughter to me. But anyway, we want to wish Angelie good luck on that. And you know, be kind to the new people because it takes me a couple months to get them trained. I know you guys probably by now know there's a lot of information that goes into what we do. And at Cannabama, I don't accept anything less than the ability to do what I do when I'm not there. So it takes a couple of months to train people. So we're really going to be scrambling to get people trained. But anyway, we got Mardi Gras coming up. We've got some really cool new stuff that we're going to do. Some treats, some new edibles, things like that. Something no one else is doing. I can say that with confidence for a fact. Some really exciting stuff. So anyway, we're going to get to the show now. Tonight, we're going to have an interesting sort of foray away from talking to farmers and brand owners and things about products. And we're going to talk to a newer friend of mine that I met this summer. Welcome to the show. Jonathan Reels is the vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Alabama and a congressional candidate for Alabama's 2nd District. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to have this conversation tonight because you and I have had some interesting conversations and we're doing some really cool stuff that I've talked about before with the Libertarian Party Convention. And we're going to get into all that. But I just want to say welcome and tell us a bit about, let's just get into it. Tell us a bit about why you're running.
Well, I just want to start out by saying that this is a long time coming, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, yes. We have been talking about this for a while.
I think we've been talking about this since August.
Yes.
So thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
So the reason I'm running is I feel like the people of Alabama have been stuck in this perpetual system of not really having anyone who represents them, that we don't have someone who represents the majority of Alabamians. We have people on the far left and the far right, and,
right. You
know, they're loud. But the people in the middle, you know, I feel like most people in Alabama kind of have the same views. They just want to be left alone. They don't want to bother their neighbor. They don't want anyone in their business, and they don't want to be in anybody else's business.
Correct.
Somebody needed to be that voice. So I say this all the time. We need more representatives in office and fewer rulers. We don't need someone to boss us around in every aspect of our lives.
Right.
And most people feel that way. So I'm trying to be that voice.
Right. I had someone that I had met about 2 minutes before this question ask me if I was Republican or Democrat. And I said, well, I'm really a libertarian. And yeah, but you can't do that. I said, oh, yes, I can.
Luckily, for the first time in over 20 years in Alabama, you can absolutely do that. This is going to be a historic election in the state of Alabama where, for the first time, when you go to vote in November, you will see potentially three different parties on the ballot. And, you know, sometimes you're going to only see two. You're going to see a Democrat versus a Libertarian, or a Libertarian versus a Republican.
Right. Depends on who's
three.
Running in each category, right?
Right. The thing is what people don't realize is that in Alabama, we've been in this weird kind of slump where 85% of the races, whenever you go and vote, 85% of the races, they only have one person on the ballot.
Right.
And that's not an election. You know, that's a coronation. That's where somebody just get the office because they showed up. And
right.
This year we're going to show up and we're going to give Alabamians an actual choice in all of these races where they wouldn't have an option otherwise.
Right. And so in a minute and a half, explain exactly what a libertarian is.
That is a fun question. I would say that a libertarian is someone who believes that as long as you are not hurting anyone or taking anyone's stuff, that you have not committed a crime against anyone. Now, the government may tell you you've committed a crime, but you haven't hurt anyone and you haven't taken anybody's stuff.
Right.
So have you really committed a crime? And if you boil down your view of government to just those things, there's a lot of laws that get passed that really don't make any sense.
Right.
And one of those laws would be the way that we enforce, you know, the legalization of cannabis or the illegal nature of cannabis in most places.
Right.
You're not hurting anyone and you're not taking their stuff.
Right. Right. And you're not infringing on anyone else's rights.
Correct.
You know, I mean, unless you're standing in front of someone and blowing it in their face while they scream, please don't do that, which no one who smokes weed would do.
Yeah, I haven't met anyone who's been in that situation. But if that situation did come up, I don't think anybody needs to be thrown in jail for it.
No,
but,
of course not.
but you should probably stop if someone's asking you to stop.
Right. Well, and from what I have gathered, from everything that I've learned, because I just really sort of accidentally discovered I am a libertarian. I'm not a Republican. I'm definitely not a Democrat. And
I think most people are.
Right.
Learned about what a libertarian is, they would figure it out that, hey,
less
you know
government,
what?
Right? The least amount of government possible.
Right. And the government that does exist, it needs to be smart about what it does.
Right.
And right now, we've got a lot of dumb government.
Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to start, we're going to go through a little bullet list of your position on things. And when we come back from the break, we'll finish up the second segment with Jonathan Reels.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Show everybody. I'm Jennifer Boozer. We're talking tonight to Jonathan Reels, Vice Chair of the Libertarian Party of Alabama and Congressional Candidate for Alabama's 2nd District. And so, Jonathan, we were just talking about sort of what being libertarian really means. And so let's get into the bullet list that you gave me about why you're running. Start with government accountability.
Okay, sure. So that's really what got me started, period. You know, you constantly hear stories about, you know, someone who is in office that, you know, they did something, or someone who worked for a city, they've been mismanaging things, or, you know, sometimes it happens where there's a police officer who did something that they shouldn't do. And in those situations, who takes the brunt of that damage? Well, obviously the person whose rights are violated, but at the end of the day, whenever everybody goes to court, it's the taxpayer.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The taxpayer is going to end up footing a bill. It's going to be, you know, a $1 million settlement, but it's not the taxpayer who violated anyone's rights.
Right.
And that's where I think it would be very, very smart, just across the board. You know, a term that comes up all the time is ending qualified immunity. And a lot of times you hear that in regards to just police officers. That's where the term has, you know, moved its way into the zeitgeist a little bit. But it's not just police officers. There are plenty of people in the government that violate people's rights constantly. And we should hold all of those people accountable. And that's what got me started into running this time specifically. But the thing is like, kind of everything in my platform, it all kind of ties together.
Right.
Because there's so many different things that are happening, and nobody's accountable for them. For instance, the way that, you know, we have a massive inflation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's accountable for that at all.
Right.
And that's because we've allowed this system of anytime we feel like, oh, well, something needs to be paid for, let's just print the money.
Right.
Nobody's accountable in that situation. And
sure.
When it boils down to it, the people that get hurt the most by that are, you know, some of the most, you know, some of the people that really are at a huge disadvantage, for instance, like seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something nobody really talks about with this inflation right now, is that, you know, we've got people that have put into Social Security for their entire life.
Right.
And now they're on Social Security. We made a contract with them. You know, the government made a contract with these people that if you put the money in, you're going to get money back. Well, we give them the money back, but what we don't tell them is that money's not going to be worth what it was whenever you put the money in.
No, and I know people that get $300 a month.
Right.
That doesn't even pay your electricity bill in my house.
Oh, absolutely not. And, you know, we've seen the inflation in so many different places, and it's especially hit the housing market. And
oh my goodness, yes.
The cost of rent and the cost of mortgages and so many different things. But we've made this agreement with senior citizens, and nobody's being held accountable for the fact that we have completely just thrown them to the wolves.
Right.
But we do the same thing all over the place. We do the same thing with veterans.
Right.
You know,
well, and people our age, we've been paying in too. But
sure.
It won't even exist in 20 years when you and I are retirement age.
Well, So we'll pause on that for a second.
Okay.
So that's something that I feel very strongly about is that Social Security for people our age, and this honestly should be extended to anyone, no matter what their age is, you should have control of how your Social Security plan is handled.
Or whether or not you contribute to it at all.
You should absolutely
because you
be
should be able to,
make to
opt out
for yourself.
Well, they know if we opted out, they wouldn't have the money that they're paying the seniors, the little bit that they have, because they've spent the rest of it.
Oh, that's once again government accountability. The Social Security fund is supposed to be held as a trust.
Right.
But what happens is that people in the government decide that they want to dip in every now and then. Oh, well, I need a little bit of money for this. I need a little bit of money. And they've been dipping and dipping and dipping, and that money is gone.
Right.
And that's really what the problem is. But you're absolutely right that if people had control, there wouldn't be money there, but the money's really not there to begin with.
Right.
But one of the solutions that I think would be, something that could really change things is if you had, let's say you still want to be in the Social Security program, you want to put that money aside, but you have a different opinion of how it should be handled.
Right.
You should be able to make that choice. Like, for instance, I bring this up as a kind of a crazy example, but let's say you decided that you didn't want your money to be held in a Social Security account in U.S. dollars, and you wanted that money to be held in Bitcoin.
Right.
Well, if I would have done that 10 years ago, the little bit of money that I've contributed in would have turned into making me a millionaire by now.
Right.
And if you would have had that choice, there would have been people that would have done it. There would have been people that wouldn't have. But
right.
It's about the choice of whether or not you think the government is handling it properly.
Right.
And if you think you can do better. It's about giving people a choice.
Right. Because you're the one who earned the money.
Sure.
Right. Well, I mean, as a business owner, the subject of inflation, are you kidding me?
No, man.
I can't just raise my prices because, especially in cannabis, you know, it's expensive as it is. You know, it's not a small thing. And so, well, we've seen increases in everything. And that's the cost of living for my employees. That's, you know, everything. The baggies that we weigh up grams and the cost of shipping and the delays in shipping, which, you know, nobody can figure out if it's an actual shortage of the ability to ship the stuff or if it's just, you know, some contrived thing. I mean, who knows what's happening from day to day? And that's another thing. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if the people that were elected could actually be trusted?
That would be a nice change of pace.
It would.
Sure.
It would. You know, it really would. And these people that have been career politicians, you know, get in, make your contribution, and get out.
Right.
Let somebody else with new ideas who has the same, you know, ideas as far as the freedom of the people and not the totalitarianism of this huge government. You know, I mean, I pay taxes on what I pay my employees. I pay taxes every year on the stuff that's in the room. You know, I pay taxes on everything. And then I'm in a higher tax bracket because I'm paying taxes as an individual, as a sole proprietor. So my tax bracket is high because on paper, yes, we have this large amount of money coming in that ain't coming to me, but I still have to pay income tax on it. And it's like, where does it end? I'm paying taxes on taxes. And then I'm having to pay somebody to figure out how much I owe them, you know? And it's really hard to get ahead, especially after the last 2 years, you know? We didn't get a choice whether or not people were going to be able to go to work, go to school. We didn't get a choice. Luckily, we were considered essential, like a health food store or a pharmacy. I mean, that was God, because I don't know what we would have done. I'd probably be in an unemployment line somewhere because I, at times, have almost been there anyway. But, you know, it's like this one thing you build up and you work and you work and you work and you put all this time and money into it. Nobody gave me money to do this. You know, nobody came down from the government and helped me work. And then they're going to create this upheaval that I had no way to predict, no say in it, nothing I could do to stop it. And I still got to pay those taxes. You know, and right. It's just, it's lunacy, and it's in like this never ending guessing game as to what comes next. You know,
yeah,
people keep saying post recovery.
Sure want their cut.
Right. Well, and I've seen the term post recovery. You know, I'm like, when did we get past the crisis? Because it's still, you know, my kid is sick now. You know,
right.
Half the schools are shut down. I mean, we're not post anything.
We're absolutely not post anything.
Mm-mm.
And you know, the whole topic of how things were handled during the beginning portion of the COVID nightmare that started.
Mm-hmm.
That's an entire conversation for itself. But
right.
It definitely was not handled properly.
Right. Well, and so moving on, because we could rant about this all day. Trust me,
oh,
I could. I got 2 years worth of sore hind end to talk about. But one of the things on your list, and we're about to have to go to break, but ownership of body, medical choice, self-medication, the right to choose natural versus pharmaceutical. You know, that's what our passion here is at Sweet Home Cannabama and at Cannabama, is giving the average citizen the right to choose whether or not they want chemo or cannabis.
Absolutely.
Whether or not they want ketamine or psilocybin, you know, vitamin C
yeah,
versus,
that's,
you know, antibiotics.
Something I feel really strongly about.
Right.
It's one of those things that I think is one of the core philosophies of being a libertarian is believing that you own yourself.
That's right.
That you own your body. And you should be able to make the choices that you think are best for you.
Right.
I feel really strongly about this because both of my parents, I'm sure you remember this, but both of my parents passed away from cancer.
Right.
And my dad, you know, was one of those, he had this rare form of leukemia where they told him that he was going to need to be on a pill every day for the rest of his life.
Right.
And that he would be fine. Well, the pill cost about $9,000.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I hate to interrupt you right here, but we do have to go to a break, and I want to have this whole story. So when we come back from the break with Jonathan, I want you to finish telling this story because I know this story, and it is an important story. And we'll talk more about medical choices, cannabis laws, incarceration, all that good stuff when we come back from the break. Thanks.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Jonathan Rills, a congressional candidate for Alabama's 2nd District and vice chair of the Libertarian Party of Alabama. Jonathan, you were telling us a story about both of your parents had cancer and your dad was told he needed a pill. How often?
Every single day for the rest of his life.
And it cost $9,000 a pill.
$9,000.
Now, who in the world do they honor? I mean, could Bill Gates sustain that? I mean, that's a lot. Seriously.
Yeah. Both, you know, my family was definitely very working class.
Me too.
It was not something that we could afford.
No. And I mean, that's not something 99% of the population could afford.
Yeah. You know, they the pharmaceutical company that was manufacturing that pill, they did have a program that every 3 months you could reapply and they would determine whether or not they would sell it to you for a cheaper rate.
What, $5,000 a day?
I do not remember the exact amount.
That is insane. I remember
my
father-in-law had cancer and I think his medication was like $25,000 a month. And
yeah.
there was just no way. There was no way.
Right. And, you know, the thing is, you know, both of my parents, they had cancer at the same time.
Oh,
and,
God.
And during that portion of time where my mother passed away, she passed away first, the paperwork being filed, every 3 months you have to refile, They don't just do it automatically for you. You have to go through the entire process of applying once again. That fell through the cracks for about 2 weeks. At that point, he was off his meds, and he got back on. But at that point, that just couple weeks of him being off really turned out very poorly.
Right.
But the thing is my dad, he really was one of those people that was like, you know, I'll do anything, you know, within what's legal.
Right.
And he would have absolutely, you know, expressed to me that he would absolutely would have used, you know, some sort of medical cannabis product, but it's illegal and he wasn't going to go to jail. And we were from a small town where, you know, that's what happens there. They are always looking to bust someone with a little bit of plant. And my dad didn't want to be in that situation. I mean, he was already, you know, diagnosed with leukemia. He didn't want to be in that situation.
But, right, of course, because he wouldn't have gotten it, that treatment in jail.
Sure.
And the stress and the trauma of that would have made him sicker.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
That's one of the reasons why, like, I feel really strongly about, you know, from every single level, from the federal to state to local, I believe that.
Especially if you have a terminal illness. If a doctor tells you you're going to die soon,
yeah,
and we're going to roast your insides to try to prevent it or just give you a little more time, but you're going to die. If you want to eat whatever, bark from a tree, you should be able to do that. You should be able to try any and all alternative therapies, you know, even if you're using chemo like they want and still using natural remedies, because you can do chemo and cannabis can prevent a lot of the damage that is caused by chemo, you know, the pain.
Where our friend Marty, which I'm sure she's been on this show many times, where she gets really riled up with this story is when I talk about the fact that it was not actually leukemia that killed my father. He passed away from a side effect of the drug.
Right, and I know her sister. Her
incredibly expensive drug.
Right.
He fought to be on.
That's what he
passed away from.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, and I know Marty's sister was killed by the chemo. It wasn't actually the cancer that killed her. It was the chemo, and I think that there's probably some scary. If there are real statistics somewhere, I think they're probably pretty scary on the side of how many people actually get, you know, end up dead because of the treatment.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know about you, but being a part of the cannabis industry, I see things that are happening in legal states with these same diseases that are miraculous in comparison to states like Alabama, where we have no choice and no options, and all people have is chemo and radiation, or new drugs, you know. God, my dad accidentally overdosed. He was in cancer treatment, and they had him on 7 respiratory depressant drugs, and he stopped breathing in his sleep. He was 51, and it was stage 1. There was zero reason for him to die.
Right.
But the therapy they had him on that wasn't chemo, because he had 2 kinds, caused him to have these blistering migraine-style headaches. They were just unbearable. And they had him on muscle relaxers, sleeping pills, anxiety meds, 2 types of morphine, and another opiate. And it was just too much for him. And that, you know, they give you like a, it looks like a goodie bag from a kiddie birthday party of drugs, and they just send you home. And he quit breathing. He had just turned 51, and you know, that was horrible for us because he had totally survivable cancer.
Right.
So, you know, anyway, so I understand where you're coming from, having been through cancer and the injustice of that expensive drug with my father-in-law, who I love very much, and my own dad, who was just given a cocktail that would have killed anybody.
Yeah, and it's it's honestly, I wish more people, especially people that are a little more in the on the older side of things, you know, parents and grandparents,
right,
of people our age, you know, they, cannabis has been stigmatized for so long,
right,
and they just don't even consider it, but they'll, you know, a doctor prescribes a bunch of pain meds, they'll take it. They'll say, well, the doctor prescribed it, but...
Right. Well, that's how I became an addict. I didn't know you could be addicted to something from your doctor in 2003.
Right. Yeah, I just had a friend who expressed to me that his dad was becoming kind of addicted to his prescribed pain medication.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you're on it for more than a week or two, you're going to have full-fledged drug withdrawal. And that's where people... stop, that they'll say, okay, no, maybe I do need this. I just thought I was in pain and needed more medicine. And when I finally described it to my doctor, he said, well, you're having drug withdrawal, and I was insulted.
Right.
I said, I don't even smoke weed.
Luckily, my friend was able to think on his feet and introduced his dad to Delta 8. And
fantastic.
That has it helped him get off the...
That's what we do at Cannabama. Delta 8, CBD, we get people off of the pharmaceutical circus. And street drugs, too, heroin, meth, alcohol. I talk about it a lot because it cuts out the cravings and the withdrawal symptoms. And it balances the brain, nourishes the brain, and helps flush that junk out of the body. And it's been a fantastic thing to watch. I want to make sure that we don't skip anything, and I would like to have you back on before, you know, the election. I'd like to have you on several times because there are some issues here that deserve more time than what we can squeeze into one show.
Sure.
You know, we want to talk about veterans' rights, cannabis, which we talk about that the entire month of November. We want to talk about laws and incarceration rates in Alabama and the economic benefits of cannabis, but just in case we get sidetracked... I do want to mention the Libertarian Party convention, Legalized Freedom, that's happening at the end of February in Dothan, because that's something that I'm participating in. Cannabama is the Alabama Cannabis Coalition, the Alabama Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. I'll let you explain what this event actually is.
So Legalized Freedom is what we're calling the entirety of the event. I mean, obviously, the Libertarian Party, we're going to be having some of our, you know, party meetings and things like that. But that's not the real circus.
Right.
The real circus is we're bringing in different vendors from all across the state. We've got live music. We've got comedy. One of the big thing this year is that we have Afro Man coming in. He's going to be performing.
Right.
We have speakers from all across the country. We have our former presidential candidate, Joe Jorgensen, coming. We have our vice presidential candidate from 2020, Spike Cohen, he's seen all over the news and TV and things like that. He's coming down. We have so many great speakers, but we just got confirmation that via Zoom, Tommy Chong is going to be speaking with me live in front of the audience there.
That is so cool.
Huge news.
Tommy Chong is my Facebook friend, and I like to pretend like we're actually friends because he's such a cool old dude. Cheech and Chong,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I'm real excited about it.
Yes, up in smoke. Well, that'll be interesting because he's a huge advocate.
Yeah. It's such an honor that he even, you know, one, considered coming or considered participating, but... Mm-hmm. The fact that he jumped on board immediately within a day of getting the invite was like all about it. So yeah, we're trying to do something that's you know, that's fun.
Right.
We want people. Activism shouldn't be miserable. You know.
No. And it can be. It can be drudgery.
Yeah. Caring about making a positive difference in the world shouldn't be a burden.
Right.
So we want to have something that's fun. Of course, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be people talking about issues and things like that. We have a wonderful, wonderful cannabis panel that, you're going to be a part of.
Yes.
And we've got some great, you know, people that are going to be involved in that. And, you know, some wonderful local music artists and some stuff that's not even announced yet that I'm really hoping to be able to announce soon. But it's going to be a really fun day. And if anybody wants tickets, you can head over to the Canabama page. Mm-hmm. And the ticketing information is there. I believe there's a Facebook event right there on your page. It's real simple, right?
Yep. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more about this event and more with Jonathan Reels.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Canabama. Now with all the information you want about CBD, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment of Sweet Home Canabama. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer, owner of Canabama, the CBD store here in Mobile. We're at 558 St. Francis Street in downtown Mobile, 251-255-5155. And you can find us online, shop online at www.canabama.com. We're talking with Jonathan Reels, Vice Chair of the Libertarian Party of Alabama and Congressional Candidate for Alabama's 2nd District. Now, we were just talking about Legalized Freedom, the event for the during the Libertarian Party Convention. I just wanted to reiterate to everybody that is February 26th is the Saturday event, and tickets are on sale. Jonathan, the invite to the event that's on my page, where else can they find the ticket information?
So you can find the ticket information on Alabama Cannabis Coalition.
Yep.
You can find the ticketing information on Vote for Jonathan, which is my campaign page.
Mm-hmm.
You can find the information on the Libertarian Party of Alabama's Facebook page, or you can go to the Libertarian Party of Alabama's website, lpalabama.org, and get it there. But it's all over the place.
Yeah.
A really reasonable price. Tickets, general admission is $15, but if you want a really close, upfront, and personal reserved seat for Afro Man, you can do that as well.
Yeah, and we're gonna have some products there too. We're gonna be selling products. We'll have edibles. We'll have smokables. We'll have all sorts of educational information. We've got businesses and organizations from all over Alabama. I know we've invited Alabama Normal to participate. And several other advocacy organizations. There are other vendors that are coming, other brands, and they're going to have some samples. They're going to have things that you can buy, some merchandise that they're going to give away. We're going to have a little VIP lounge. Aren't we going to have food trucks and stuff like that?
So unfortunately, the city has nixed our food trucks.
Oh,
but
man.
There will be food there.
Okay.
yes. The city has
and this is in Dothan, by the way. This is in Dothan at the Civic Center. This is not in Mobile. So, right. So, I'm going to be coming up to help set everything up and bring in some of my crew. It's going to be a little nutty for us because it's smack in the middle of the last full weekend before Mardi Gras. So I will be leaving at the crack of dawn the next morning to come back for Joe Kane Day because I've got to pull some of my staff away to be able to come and do this. And it's our busiest season of the whole year, so it's going to be a little crazy for me.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It's going to be fun, though.
So it's going to start at 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. That's noon, not mm-hmm. in the morning. And it is, once again, it's not just for people who are libertarians, even though I maintain that most people are. It is for everyone.
Right.
If you care about the cause of legalizing cannabis in Alabama, this event is for you.
Yes.
And even if you're not fully on board.
Even if you just like Afro Man and Tommy Chong.
Yeah, you just like Afro Man and Tommy Chong. I don't know a single Afro Man or Tommy Chong fan that does not want to legalize it.
Exactly.
If those people exist, that you are absolutely welcome to come.
Right. There may be people who have never partaken that still sing Colt 45. It's such a catchy song.
It's possible, but it's rare.
Right. Well, and, you know, ultimately for the Alabama Cannabis Coalition, for us at Cannabama, and I know for the Libertarian Party, because we all have the like-minded goal for cannabis is full home grow legalization and expungement. We want anything regulatory outside of commerce because, you know, I've talked about this. Even if we had full access to home grow, how many people do you know grow their own food, their own vegetables?
Very, very few.
There are people that are going to do it just because they can. They may succeed. They may fail. They may have everything they need. But the vast majority of people are either going to fail at it because it's not just throw it in the dirt and walk off, you know. And you never know when weather or mold or rodents or anything, you know, anything can happen.
I tried to grow okra once, and I got maybe a few pieces, and then my plants died.
I grew tomatoes for years and never ate a single one. I never could get them ripened enough before bugs got to them or birds or whatever. And I tried every home remedy, every stupid thing on the internet you could think of, a fake owl, human hair. I let my five-year-old pee around the plant. It was weird. Nothing worked. Even all those things together didn't work. So, but, you know, none of us are gardeners. You know, there's those few people that will love it, and I will probably attempt it just to be able to say I could, because, you know, the cannabis queen should be able to grow. But I leave that to the experts.
Yeah. You met Vermin Supreme.
Yes.
In Mobile, not Mobile, Montgomery.
In Montgomery.
A few months back, and that's something that he's very proud about, is that in his state he has home grow as an option, and he has absolutely learned how to grow, and I believe he has.
Right. But you never know. You might need a different strain for some reason. You may not have enough in what you can grow, or you may just want something different. You're not every home, you know, as far as growing smokable flower, yes, you can even make your own tincture or edibles, but there may be things like not everybody's going to have a cold press machine if that's what they want. You know, not everybody's going to be able to make dabs in their kitchen. You know, there's still going to be a huge need for commerce, and people, you know, you forgot your stuff at home and there's a store on the corner, you know,
sure.
There's still a need for commerce, and there will need to be regulation, because as someone in the industry where no one's enforcing anything, and they use the term, it's the wild, wild west, which makes me want to pull my hair out. we should just like food and things like that. There should be safety protocols, and there should be someone to enforce, you know, not growing in a miracle grow and selling it, you know. But outside of commerce, the government should stay out of it. And that's the ultimate goal.
One of the biggest things that that I feel like gets people's attention whenever you're talking to someone who they have no desire to ever partake or purchase, or they really don't care, but you can talk money to those people. And what people do not realize is how much money is on the table for the state of Alabama if we were to be able to utilize our farmland to grow cannabis.
Right. I say all the time, Alabama should be in the middle of just dominating this industry, because we have black Delta soil. We're farmers by trade. On the whole, we're a farming state. We have more months of warm weather, you know, and there are ways to grow even in the humidity. There are ways to grow cannabis successfully here. And why are we okay with number 49 in everything but football? We're number one in one thing and 49 in everything else. It's lunacy, because Alabama has a lot of talent.
I mean, we need a piece of the pie somewhere, and this is such a profitable industry. By 2028, the cannabis industry is estimated to be worth about $200 billion.
Yeah, I think it will surpass the NFL, because the NFL is like a money-making machine.
Yeah.
I always hear people compare it to how much the money the NFL brings in.
Yeah. I mean, $200 billion.
Yeah.
Alabama needs a piece of that pie.
And there, and in my opinion, as far as the commerce side of it, there's a way to tax it without taxing the mess out of it and making it inaccessible. Because they're, the more, like, they're going to get that money one way or another. The more my customers are able to come in and get what they need, the more sales taxes I'm going to pay. The more employment taxes I'm going to pay. It will get paid. You know,
right.
I'm okay with that because I do want to be able to provide people a safe, trusted product source. But, you know, come on, let's stop sucking the life out of everything with these cancer treatments and these other disease treatments, and let's get people back to their full capacity of health. Unless they choose to be couch potatoes.
We're the peanut capital of the world, and I don't know if you know the story of the reason why Dothan became the peanut capital of the world, but we were the cotton capital for the longest time, and then the boll weevil tragedy happened, where it killed off all the cotton crops, and they had to figure out something to plant.
Yeah.
And they planted peanuts, and it became super, super, super profitable.
Right. Let's do that with cannabis.
For us to figure out the next cash crop. It's already here. We already know what it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for this show, but I definitely have some bullet points left here for the next time. We'll have you back really soon, Jonathan. Thanks so much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you, Jennifer. And remember, everybody, legalize freedom.
That's right. We'll see you next week on Sweet Home Cannabama.